From the Land de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 5th day of December, 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Matt Bennett. He's at agmarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. Josie Rudolphi will join us. She and her team of agricultural farm safety specialists will be doing house screenings this weekend at the Illinois Farm Bureau. We'll hear more about that. And then she'll also join us for the Farm Assets Conference and make a presentation next Friday. That's December the 13th at the I Hotel. I hope you can be there. Registration is still open online at willag.org. And as we finish up our time today here on the Closing Market Report, we'll talk about the weather forecast too. We'll do that with Mike Tenor at T-Storm Weather, all on this Thursday edition of the program that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn for the day settled at $4.35. It was up a nickel for the afternoon. The May contract at $4.40.5, five higher, and December at $4.34. The new crop up 5 cents. January beans at $9.93¾, a dime higher for the day. The March at $9.99, up 9¼. And new crop November soybeans $10.07, up 6¼ cents. Bean meal 80 cents lower. The bean oil up 89 cents. Soft red winter wheat a dime higher at 5.58¼, and the hard red at 5.52½, a dime higher for the afternoon. Live cattle futures were down $2. The feeders off $2.25, and lean hogs were unchanged. Matt Bennett is now here from agmarket.net. He's in Windsor, Illinois. Hey, happy holidays to you, Matt. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad to be on.
You know, it does feel like the holidays. We've been through Thanksgiving. We've got the winter break, Christmas coming up, or in between. Usually we go into some winter doldrums. Not quite this early. The markets are moving, but not a lot. What can you tell me about them?
You know, today was an interesting day in that, of course, we had a little bit of a pop in this corn market, but more, I think even more interesting for me and a lot of folks that sit in this chair that I'm in is that the spreads started to change a little on the front month. You know, you saw D's corn only up 3¾, and March corn up 6. And so essentially what you've seen here for a while, you know, is that there's been a lack of carry in the market. And so most months all the way out to December held that 5½, 6 cent move higher, and D's kind of sold off. So D's is in delivery. You know, there's a lot of, there's still a fair amount of longs in that market. Open interest is all the way down under 5,000, you know, but what you're seeing is you're finally seeing some of those folks give up and start to roll out. But nice little move there for corn. Nice to see. Volume not that heavy today. You look at you know, November beans, pretty good day there as well, up 9 to 10 cents. You know, bottom line is right now I think these markets, you know, they've been beat up, of course, here the last several weeks. We all know that. You look at, for instance, January beans, they just haven't been able to break that 975 area. And they've been able to find some support every time they get down into there. It's just that we're not seeing a whole lot of follow through. So only other couple things I'd like to mention at the outset, of course, corn grind for ethanol this week was off quite a bit. We're hearing from some refiners that are saying, you know, they just can't quite come up with the margins right now. So I do think these ethanol numbers might have the tendency to back off here over the next couple, 3 months. But fortunately, you know, we've seen awfully good export activity, both corn and beans lately.
You know, the first 3 weeks in November set records, 1.1 million each week. And that was the first time since they've been keeping records that I could see that there were three back-to-back weeks for sure. And as maybe you have looked at the numbers and I have talked about on the air a couple of times, I want to say five of the highest grinds have been this year since the month of July. So it's been really moving very quickly, backing off kind of seasonal, I suppose, for ethanol at this time.
Yeah, I think the thing is, of course, there's some seasonal, but then you look, of course, over to crude oil. You know, today crude oil is back down here at the $68 level. You know, crude oil in the 60s, you know, in corn, some of these folks maybe having to pay up a little bit more than what they maybe thought. I mean, hey, you know what? When we were talking a 185 crop potentially, I do think a lot of these folks, which are typically phenomenal hedgers, really good job of looking out several months in advance, most likely some of them got caught maybe kind of looking at this thinking, hey, maybe we are going to break like we did, for instance, in 2014 and, you know, dip clear down into that 3.25, 330 level. That's what a lot of us were seeing because, you know, as far as an analog year, we mirrored that thing up until the time that we, you know, had the real dry August and then started to get some whispers that, hey, maybe this crop isn't going to be quite as big as what we thought. And so, you know, as far as the ethanol activity goes, yes, some of it's seasonal, but I would caution as to think maybe USDA would make any adjustments yet higher. You would have thought after those weeks, like you were talking, you know, we had 2 out of 3 weeks that were all-time records as far as ethanol grind, but you got to be cautious and make an assumption USDA will change just yet, especially when the economics don't necessarily look that great. So I do think you're going to see a bit of a slowdown in here. Grind's probably going to back off. But then once again, I do think you can kind of hang your hat on the USDA having the ammo in their disposal, you know, that they could go ahead and make an adjustment for exports. Whether they will or not in December, I don't know. It's typically a very quiet month for a report. But as far as that January report goes, I'd be pretty shocked if we don't move higher, you know, maybe by 100, 150 million bushels.
Man, they are surveying farmers now. You think farmers will come up with more bushels that they'll find them?
No, that's a tough call. You know, I think that as far as production goes, as far as knowing, you know, what the final yield was, Todd, I think, you know, that excessively dry corn, especially in the Western Corn Belt, you know, those bushels might end up, you know, shaving a little bit more off. I guess here's the thing, Todd, you're at 183.1. That's over 5 bushels better than anything we've ever seen before. You know, and clearly these basis levels have been good. I mean, yes, the farmer's been tight fisted, but whenever you look at basis and spreads, it might tell you that at least in some facets, you could maybe make the case that maybe the bushels weren't quite there. Now, you know, you could say, well, the people might say, I don't know, that sounds awful bullish. But here's the thing. You got to be cautious in thinking that as well, because again, if you'd even take this all the way back to 182, even, which would be another 1.1 bushels lower, you know, now you're looking at still above 4 bushels higher than we've ever seen. But if I do that and I go ahead and raise exports 150, 200 million, you know, I still struggle to get below like a 1.7. And so it's not necessarily bullish. It's just not as bearish as what we were talking. So cheaper corn certainly done the job that cheaper corn's supposed to do, you know, and we've been able to see demand really pick up. But there's still a fair amount of things kind of playing against us. Of course, world supply, big estimates out of South America right now because weather's been good. And then, of course, as far as corn's concerned, most are starting to talk about big acres in 25. So, you know, you might be hard-pressed to get a longer-lasting staying power type rally, you know, if we don't see something happen on the demand front, for instance, with China, or maybe a major crop issue for that Safrinha crop.
In the soybeans, you mentioned that the January contract had been touching that $9.75 level, have not been able to break through that, so support has been good. Do you suppose that continues to hold for very much longer?
That 975 level is certainly, it's provided nice support for the time being. If we want to talk sheer fundamentals, Todd, you could definitely make the case that whether you're talking domestic, whether you're talking world, that we should move lower from where we're at. Now, the question is always how much of the damage have we already done? How much of the down have we already put in? And so, you know, I don't know that I want to get super bearish down here by any means. It's just that if a grower's in a situation, you know, where they're exposed, if you will, they got a lot of old beans sitting around, you still have to understand that, you know, you could make the case for a lot lower bean prices. And so what would be the scenario that would play out would probably be weather stays really good for Brazil and you end up with some of these whispers of 175 million metric ton crop, you know, which we're starting to hear more and more every day. You know, if that would happen to be the case, then I can assure you that it's going to make it, you know, kind of a tough situation for this bean market to be able to rally. So I would still have somewhat of a sell the rally type of mentality. Hopefully we'll get the opportunity to get more, you know, of what we've seen the last couple of years. I don't want to call it seasonal yet, but we're getting the chance to, to see what happens 2 years ago when Argentina had an off crop. And then last year, whenever Brazil certainly was drier than a bone at this time, both of those years, we've seen a nice little rally. Some are starting to say maybe this will be a new seasonal, considering South America is producing a lot more beans than we are. And Brazil's your number one corn and bean exporter the last 2 years. You know, maybe that's going to be a new seasonal. But right now, you just don't have the weather ammo that you need to be able to put something like that together.
Hey, thank you much. We'll talk with you again next week.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Matt Bennett is with agmarket.net. Our theme music for the program is written, performed, produced, and courtesy of Logan County, Illinois, farmer Tim Gleason. You're, of course, listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, a co-production of IPM and University of Illinois Extension. Now, U of I Extension is hosting the Farm Assets Conference, along with the Farm Doc team, coming up on Friday the 13th. We hope you will join us at the iHotel in Champaign. Registration remains open, though you only have through the weekend to register at the $80 level. We'll need to raise the price going into the program and for day of walk-ins to $100. So make sure you get yourself registered if you're planning to come to the Farm Assets Conference. We have a great series of speakers scheduled for you all day long, including the whole of the Farm Doc team, the crop scientist from the U of I, along with Eric Snodgrass from Conduit Ag, and many, many more. You'll want to check out all the details online. You can do that at where? willag.org, willag.org. You know, this weekend, the members of the Illinois Farm Bureau will gather in Chicago for their annual meeting. Now, University of Illinois Extension will be there offering free health screenings too. Josie Rudolphi and her team of farm stress and safety specialists will be on hand. In fact, Josie will be with us making a presentation at the Farm Assets Conference, not this week, but a week from Friday. That'll be in Champaign at the iHotel. More on that later. Thank you, though, for that and for being here today, Josie, and for the work you and your team will do this weekend at the Illinois Farm Bureau annual meeting. And you are a farm safety specialist with Extension and an assistant professor here on the U of I campus. I do want to talk just a bit about what you'll be doing this week. Extension will be at Farm Bureau's annual meeting, kind of in a big way, from your area of expertise.
Yeah, we're really excited to be at the Illinois Farm Bureau annual meeting this weekend. We are in collaboration with Illinois Farm Bureau and other partners facilitating what we're calling Ticket to Health. And so there's going to be a number of health screenings, I think 7 different health screenings that people can participate in the exhibit hall. And if people go through at least 3 of the health screenings, they will receive a bucket of what we consider to be high quality personal protective equipment and other farm goodies. So these include things like a set of hearing protection devices, safety glasses, gloves, but also tape measures, flashlights, and then a bunch of resources that are relevant to farm safety, agricultural health, and mental health.
So outline a couple of the things that they'll be able to go through of the 7.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll have a hearing screening available for people who may be concerned that they don't hear like they used to. We'll have blood pressure screening, which is very important, especially considering the farm situation we're in. We will have things like blood glucose, and then a few other screenings in addition to those.
The health screening side has been long part of many farm meetings. Most of them, in fact, will have some kind of health screening available. What are you hoping that producers will learn along the way?
Yeah, so we really acknowledge that it's tough to take time throughout the year to seek out your healthcare provider and participate in health screenings of any kind. We know that it might be costly financially, but it's certainly costly from a time perspective. It's something we often don't prioritize. So this is a really good opportunity for people to prioritize their health, take a couple of minutes, get some things checked out, and then be alerted as to whether you should take the next step or talk to a healthcare professional in the winter, right? We consider the winter a time for hopefully rejuvenation, a time to focus on yourself. Thinking about crops being out of the field, it's really an opportunity to focus on your own little checklist. And so we think it's just really good timing and a really good opportunity for people to participate in those screenings in a place where they already are. You don't have to travel. You just have to come to the exhibit hall, and they're totally free.
Sometimes easier to think about your physical health as opposed to your mental health. For instance, I know that I need to go in and have my hearing checked.
Yeah.
Right? I know that. It's on my list to ask my doctor about. However, mental health is a bigger step. And I think it's interesting that within agriculture, it has been recognized in the last 2 years particularly, but the last 5 to 7 years, that it is something that is discussed openly now, which is an interesting function.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I think, you know, it's to your point, it's been there have been people in this space for a long time trying to have these conversations, but it's not always been easy. But we feel really fortunate to be in a place where our industry groups, our commodity groups, farm bureaus especially, are having conversations, helping to reduce stigma, normalize talking about mental health. So we'll also have a number of resources available at the Illinois Farm Bureau annual meeting about what Illinois Extension has available. We'll have information about our voucher program, which you can find information about online if you're not able to be at the meeting. But that's an opportunity for anyone in agriculture to participate in free behavioral health services. So those may be counseling sessions or therapy sessions for free. So if you're not going to be at the meeting, we encourage you to Google the Illinois Ag Mental Health Voucher Program. Will be the first hit, and you can request 3 free vouchers.
And where do you find that again? You look for
the Illinois Ag Mental Health Voucher Program. Any combination of those words in a Google search will lead you to the Illinois Extension website where you can request that information.
So that's one way to find it. But there is also a regional website available in this same area.
Absolutely. So farmstress.org, much easier to remember, has over 170 different and unique ag-specific resources. And those are a collection of resources that are available in a 12-state region, of which Illinois is one. So you can find state-specific resources, and then you can also find more general farm stress resources there.
12 states being the North Central region for Extension that runs from North Dakota to Kansas and across to Ohio and everything through the Great Lakes. It's a simple way to remember it. Thank you very much, Josie, and I look forward to having you at the Farm Assets Conference on the 13th of December.
Thank you. I look forward to it as well.
Josie Rudolphy is a farm safety specialist with University of Illinois Extension. She and her team will be working the annual Illinois Farm Bureau meeting this weekend in Chicago, and then Josie will make a presentation next Friday, December the 13th, at the Farm Assets Conference. That's to be held at the iHotel. You can register today for that program. The cost is $80. I hope you will. Check it out on our website at willag.org for all the details and the agenda. Time now to check the agricultural weather forecast for the growing regions across the planet. We're joined by Mike Tenura. He is the president and CEO of T-Storm Weather. That's tstorm.net online. Hi, Mike. Thanks for being with us again on another Thursday.
Hey, thanks for having me, Todd.
I'd like to start with something just a bit different. Can you tell me about soil moisture conditions across South America and its growing regions?
Yeah, absolutely. Rains have been widespread across Argentina, Brazil, and Paraguay over the last several weeks. And we think the soil moisture situation as of early December is pretty much ideal, with most areas across all of these corn and soybean regions having received some pretty nice rain. So as we sit today, Todd, it does look pretty ideal from our perspective.
If we can, Mike, let's focus in on a few specific areas. I'd like to start in southern Brazil. Last season, they had some torrential rainfalls that created issues, flooding problems particularly. And it appears they may be getting a lot more rain very, very soon. Can you tell me about the specifics in that area?
Well, you're right. There was a lot of flooding last year, but that was mainly at the end of the season in April. And so while they were harvesting corn and soybeans, they were getting hammered with a ton of rain. The situation that we're looking at today is for some pretty big rains to happen over the next 5 days. They'll see 3 to 6 inches in most of that region, which is a lot because they only average about 3 inches over the next 2 weeks. So you're talking about all of that rain basically over the next 5 days, and that would start tomorrow when a cool front arrives and then end on Monday when it exits. But once we get beyond early next week, it looks drier with a cooler pattern settling in. So cool and dry weather following heavy rain is not a recipe for a big problem. It will probably keep their soybean crop looking pretty nice in the southern growing areas, and that will also extend over into Paraguay.
Can you provide us some detail about some of the other growing regions in Brazil, particularly the center west and the north and northwestern regions?
Well, they've had great rains lately, like we talked about, but they are going to be a little drier going forward. An upper level high is forming across the north of Brazil, and that will then expand southward into the center west region. This whole area includes about 60% of Brazil's soybeans, so they'll be a lot drier over the next 5 to 10 days than they have been. The reason that we're not overly concerned about this, though, is because, number one, soil moisture looking good as of today, and number two, there are a number of signs that a cool front is going to arrive late next week and next weekend, and that should resume thunderstorms across these areas, and because of that, soil moisture should still be looking okay 10 to 14 days from now. And that's why we just think the Brazil story is pretty weak for any problems at the moment.
Is there anything from Argentina of note today?
Well, Argentina is not going to be as nearly as wet as all of these areas, but they are going to be quite cool over the next 10 days. And because of that, that will keep a lot of the pressure off of early corn development because that crop will start silking here over the next few weeks. That said, soybeans are only around halfway complete as far as planting is concerned, and there is dry weather ahead, and that will allow planting to move forward. The same story for their late-planted corn. That crop is just starting to be planted now, and this dry period ahead will help that crop to move forward as well, from the planting perspective. So overall, it's just not much going on in South America as of today. The only way we'd become concerned is if dry weather in the northern areas of Brazil were to last through the middle of the month, or if we started to see repeated heavy rains in southern areas. But at this point, we don't think that's going to be the case. And as far as Argentina goes, it would have to stay pretty dry into the middle of January for us to have a lot of concern there. So as of today, everything is quiet.
Thank you so much for all the detail. We appreciate it.
Sure thing, Todd.
Mike Tenora is with T-Storm Weather at tstorm.net online. Joined us here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You may find and listen to our programming anytime you'd like on our website. The address there is willag.org, and just click and play from the website or search us out in your favorite podcast applications, places like Apple and Spotify, YouTube, and many, many more. There's also a podcast tab on our homepage. Again, the address, willag.org. You have a great afternoon. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.